This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
So we are going to finish, we're going to continue on our series in Romans. And I just want to start off with a story. And so I know some of you are going to probably try to figure out who I'm talking about. So don't do that. About 10 years ago, how many were here 10 years ago when we moved here? Raise your hand. That's about half of you. I don't know if you remember, but we had a sound volume issue. Everybody remember that? Yes, yes. We used to have a big old drum cage right here in the middle. I mean, it was huge. And the reason it was huge is that we didn't want to spend money and buy one that's manufactured by professionals. So we hired an engineer and architect, and we designed our own. I was the engineer and I was the architect. So it was a lot bigger than we imagined. And Jeremy Galibersuch, he and I put it together. There's still remnants of that big cage downstairs, this big plexiglass. It kind of worked, but that was not the issue. The issue was sound would really just ping pong all over this room. And sometimes it would get loud. I think we bought a reader to see how loud it would get here, a decibel reader. And I think we were in the 100 range, right, Nat? Maybe even more. Nat's going like this. So what happened was that we would have floor monitors. We had we didn't have a lot of money as a church, so we had an old system, and the old system is floor monitors. Well, those monitors would hit this wall and then bounce right back to you. Now, I was in the front row. Typically, I was in the front row, so the speakers are up there, so the sound would go over me. So it wasn't that loud to me. But one Sunday during our intermission time, downstairs, right by the women's bathroom, a man cornered me, and he was angry. So this is about 10 years. This was 10 years ago, 11 years ago now. He cornered me downstairs, and he put his finger in my chest, and he says, "If we don't solve this sound issue, I'm leaving." And he was ticked. And so what did I do? I opened the door and I said, "Here you go." No, I didn't do that. I'm going to finish the story at the end. But it was a tense moment downstairs during intermission. Romans 14 is going to address the tension there were inside the church between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going to encourage us, to encourage the readers of the letter in Rome to begin to see things differently. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 14, verse 1, accept other believers who are weak in the faith. This is a phenomenal chapter. I'm telling you, please reread it. Accept other believers who are weak in the faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, verse 2, one person believes it's all right to eat anything. I highlighted it and I changed the word. I shouldn't have done that, but I said, watch anything. So just maybe couldn't put it in today's terms. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything or watch anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables or watch VeggieTales. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago when we talked about Romans chapter 12, about, that there's a certain standard of living that God wants us to live, of holiness. And so I wasn't a perfect parent, but when I was trying to, it was interesting looking back at my life and how we parent, Robin and I, and again, we didn't have a lot of resources. We were winging it the best we could from what we knew. And the things that we try to keep our kids from, it wasn't out of malice. It was really wanting to do what was best and what we knew at the time. And what we knew at the time wasn't all the things to know at the time. Does that make sense? We kind of went with what we knew. So let me read it again. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not, and this is Paul's message to the church, but I believe this is something that we can extract and begin to apply it in our own lives. That's why we're doing this. How can this apply? What's the Holy Spirit telling us as a church? Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't. And those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. And I'm just adding my two cents here, condemn with laughter or mockery. Maybe somebody has a sensitive spirit and they won't necessarily consume certain things that you think is all right. And the Bible is telling us how to respond. Verse 4, who are you to condemn someone else's servant? What a powerful statement. Who do they belong to? They belong to God. Who are you to condemn someone else's servant? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall. And with the Lord's help, they will stand and receive his approval. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, help us to learn what I pray the church in Rome learned through this letter. I pray, God, that we would extrapolate all those things that you want us to put in our lives and act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. I think the key verse in this little section here is, accept those whose faith is weak without quarreling over these disputable matters, and it says in Romans 14:1. Some believers had strong convictions about food and holy days, while the others did not. And Paul is calling the church to not fall into the trap of arguing over non-essential issues. And there are areas that we need to be careful not to judge other people because they already have a judge. And we need to stay in our own lane. And how can we extend grace to those who have different convictions? Let's read on. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than the other day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced whichever day you choose is acceptable. Verse 6, those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. It's very interesting. Both people are trying to honor the Lord in what they're doing. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. So I pray that the motive is that we want to please the Lord, not to prove that I'm right or what your convictions are being silly. What we need to have is an attitude is like, whatever conviction I have, I pray before the Lord. It is something that we want to do to please the Lord and to give thanks to God. Verse 7, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Let me repeat that. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, to be Lord both of the living and the dead. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. I love that third song that we sang today. I love all of them, but that third song talked about, you know, going before the Lord. There will be a day when the Lord will stand before the Lord. We read the Apostles' Creed together. Same thing. It talked about judgment and that one day we will stand before the Lord. That's what it says in verse 10. Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says in verse 11, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. And each person, what Paul is saying is that each person must be fully convinced in their minds about their conviction. And the motive behind it will be expressed. We must do all these things in order to honor the Lord. And we have to be careful to, at least to recognize that we are accountable to God. Yes, we hold each other accountable, but ultimately we are accountable to God. And especially when we have these convictions. Look what it says in verse 13. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. So in other words, you have to live a life, not only for yourself, but you have to live a life that you're not going to cause someone else to stumble and fall. I know, and I'm convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus, that no food in itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. In campus ministry, in Chi Alpha, we like to do this, and we try to do it well. It's called cross-cultural missions. You know, you have to be careful. In other words, we want to honor the culture that we're going into, and we want to adapt our life in order to build a bridge with the culture that we're trying to reach and minister to. Does that make sense? You know, some places, women have to put a head covering. And so our Chi Alpha students and our leaders, what do? When they go to these places where you need a head covering? They put a head covering on. Why? Because they want to first acknowledge that, you know, we want to build a bridge, that we love them, God loves them, and we don't want to do anything to stumble and use that as an explosive to keep that bridge from communicating. So, and if another believer is distressed by what you eat, or you are not acting in love if you eat it, do not let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. And so now we're talking about believers with other believers. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of a living life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So number 19. So let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Let me repeat that. That's a great verse for us. Let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. I pray, and I do believe our church does this very well. Not all of us have the same convictions. Not all of us like the same thing. We went on a men's camping trip, and you realize not everybody likes Pop-Tarts, ding-dongs, and Twinkies. 2-3 years ago, I was in charge of buying the food. And, I think sometimes I get in, like, I remember my college pastor days, so I went through Sam's and I grabbed Twinkies and Pop-Tarts and, you know, all the sugary stuff. And I failed to recognize the audience. These are young men, married men, grown men. And so I realized that I took boxes and boxes of that stuff back home. And I try to listen to my son. He's just like, why'd you buy all this junk food? I was like, what junk food, you know? And so this year, I brought him along. You know, we want to connect with our team that was there. And we ended up buying apples, oranges, you know, fruit. And that got all consumed. Now, we did buy some junk food, but Elijah ate it. So he did. Let's pray for Rhea and Dave on their food bill. I mean, literally, I saw him. Nobody else probably watched him, but I watched him go in and out of that food tent. I even cornered him, and he's like, "Oh, it's just a half a sandwich." Like, yeah, okay. So then, let's aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Something so minimal. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. What's the principle here? Is that you're not just looking out for yourself. You're concerned. You know, is it Nate Burr? You know, the comedian. Ross, what's his name? That guy. He talked about he was raised by 80s, 90s parents. That was me. And so one of the challenges we had, we didn't know whether we could listen to ABBA. Anybody ever heard of ABBA? You know? Dancing Queen. There was a movie that came out, and that album came out, and we loved it. And one year, we were celebrating my daughter's birthday, and boy, I put in that ABBA CD into the radio, and I was driving, and I literally was shaking that minivan. We were just all dancing with a bunch of young girls from the church and Robin, and we were just having a blast. But one girl didn't like it. Looking back, I remember thinking, oh, this girl is just so wound up too tight. She doesn't have the freedom that us Solaris have. I'm looking back and realizing I should have been more understanding, especially reading this passage. It's easy to make fun of people. And Paul is asking us not to make fun of people. He's asking us to at least consider them. Now, you may have the perception like you're the stronger brother, and so treat them as the weaker brother. And they probably have the attitude, they're the stronger brother, and we're the weaker brother. I didn't raise my kids perfect. It is by God's grace that they love Jesus. It wasn't by our formulaic way of parenting, because we messed up here. The mom was pretty distraught, and I think she came and took her daughter. And Robin and I are guilty of looking down on her for doing that, the mom. And for years like that, we felt that. Until the Lord just kind of revealed this back to us. So I've been serving the Lord for 40 plus years. I have not arrived. I'm still learning. I've read this passage a zillion times, but all of a sudden it just pops back up to you. And the Lord puts his little finger, you know, like talked about that guy put his finger on my chest, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, put his finger on my chest. Do not tear apart the work of God over what you listen to. Eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. I had no clue that Mamma Mia would be a stumbling block. And typically it shouldn't be, but it was for this young girl. And we should have been a little bit more understanding if we were considered ourselves the more spiritual mature ones. Then I should have been so spiritually mature that I needed to make an adjustment. Verse 21, it's better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. Our freedom in Christ should never harm a weaker believer's faith. It's better to limit our own liberty than to cause someone to stumble. One year, we didn't do this on purpose. It was a mistake. There was and I just met the lady again. I had not met her. I had not seen her since 2005. But we had her over for Thanksgiving. And it's the only time we have alcohol in the house, all right? But it's for cooking. You know, she's stirring and then cooking. That's my favorite joke. I'm so funny. Well, we make a sweet potato casserole that has some sort of alcohol in it. I can't remember what it is. Let's call it rum. And I remember going to the ABC Liquor once, sneaking in and get me a little, you know, one of those little travel bottles. We put it in the sweet potato casserole, and of course the heat burns off the alcohol, but the flavor is still there. And we had this lady come, and she was eating. We wanted to honor her and had her over for Thanksgiving, and next thing you know, I was sitting next to her. She pushes herself back. Does this have alcohol in it? And I said, yes. And basically, she says, I used to be an alcoholic. So what do? We didn't mock her for her weakness, that come on. No, we took that plate away, and we apologized. We're sorry. We want to build a bridge. Literally just ran into her again, so we're talking about 20 years later. Thank the Lord, she remembers a good experience. Verse 22, let's move on because we're running out of time. We have a party to go to. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they've decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it, for you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. So, verse 19, back to 19, therefore, let's make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Instead of insisting on our own rights, we should pursue peace and to help others in their faith. Let me finish the story downstairs. So he has his finger on my chest. He says, if we don't solve this sound issue, I'm leaving. And I don't know what happened. I got mad myself. And I put my finger on his chest, and we were whispering. There's kids around. There's church going on. We have been through so much together, and you want to leave over sound decibel? I love you too much to let this be an issue. It kind of snapped him out of, and me, I mean, I was angry, and it was like the Holy Spirit came in and defused a situation. I didn't say, here's the door. I said, our mutual love for each other and Jesus is too important to let this be an issue. We weren't arguing about whether the scriptures are inspired. We weren't arguing if there's one true God. We weren't arguing over the deity of Jesus. We weren't arguing over the fall of man or how a man gets saved. We weren't talking about and arguing over communion or baptism. We weren't talking about the gifts of the Spirit and arguing over that. We weren't arguing about the gift of tongues. We weren't talking about the process of sanctification. We weren't arguing over the mission of the church. We weren't arguing over the role of leadership. We weren't talking about if the gifts are for today. We weren't arguing over the return of Christ. We weren't talking about Christ's rule on earth when he comes. We weren't arguing about the final judgment. We weren't talking about what this new heavens and new earth will be like. We were arguing about the decibel level. And so what we had to do at that very moment is recognize how unimportant that is. And we did. I don't think I handled it perfectly, but I said, our relationship is too precious to let this be a matter of division. So what did we do? We didn't tell him, live with it. We just said, we're not going to let, you know, this be an issue of separation. So as God is my witness, the Lord helped us, and I asked Natalie, we didn't have any money, and not that we have money today, but we definitely didn't have any money in those days. And we did everything we could to get rid of the floor monitors. And we did. We have in-ears. They're the least expensive kind of in-ears you can get because they have a cord to them. They have to plug in. But it was more important for us to sacrifice and get equipment we couldn't afford. That's a sacrifice. If it's not really a sacrifice, if it meant that we can continue relationship with this person, it's too valuable. And so this chapter 14 just reminded me of that story, is that we're doing everything except other believers who are weak in the faith and don't agree with, and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. I can finish the story and tell you that person was with us for another 6 years until COVID hit and then ended up moving away. And it was never an issue again. It was because we recognized it was such a small thing compared to the big things that I mentioned. So let me encourage you to examine your own hearts and your own lives and see where we can make adjustments in our own families, within our families, and even within our church. Let's make the main thing the main thing. Now, I'll fight if we're going to talk about Jesus Christ didn't physically rise from the dead. Then those are theological arguments that we're going to need to have. Because here we believe that he physically died and he rose again. But if we're going to talk about the lights are too bright or they're too not bright enough or it's too warm on that side and too cold on that side, we'll talk about it. But it's not worthy of division. So I don't think we have that problem in our church. So maybe Romans chapter 14 is to help us not to ever fall into that trap. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And I pray, God, that all of us could learn from Romans 14. I know I can and I do and I still need to. Lord, forgive me for maybe having attitudes of superiority, maybe having a certain standard I live at, or you know, something I like and doesn't affect my spiritual walk, but you know, somebody who might be younger or not as strong in their faith and it affects them. And Lord, help me to never fall into that trap of looking down on them. That's not what you want us to do. Consider the weaker brother. Lord, we say thank you for what you're doing here at our church and that we would continue to have that posture of humility with each other. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. May the Lord be with you. He is risen.